This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Bit of Deshaun Watson news yesterday. This comes from our friend Amy Dash, who has been a frequent guest on this show when the Deshaun Watson legal saga was generating news on a daily basis. It's been kind of quiet, other than the brief trade deadline reports of Deshaun attempting to very rapidly settle a bunch of these cases so he'd get moved to the Dolphins, unsuccessfully so. There's not been much news on the Deshaun Watson legal front, but Amy Dash reporting yesterday on her website, leagueofjustice.com, as Deshaun Watson sits on the sideline, questions remain over the Texans quarterback future with the team in the league. While the sum and substance of the ongoing criminal investigation remains under wraps, more than 22 civil lawsuits against Watson are moving forward. As of yesterday, Watson's attorneys, Seth, yesterday began depositions of his accusers. They're going to be questioning, according to Amy, questioning one woman a day spread out over the next several weeks. So probably, 22 women. That's about a month or so, given the holidays as well. This thing may drift into the new year. We know that Deshaun cannot be deposed until at the earliest late February of 2022. But the fact that these depositions here are moving forward with Watson's attorneys, I guess, would be an indicator that whatever settlement attempts were going on right before the trade deadline have been tabled to some degree, or at the very least, I don't know if you're deposing and negotiating settlements in tandem.
I would imagine you could do both at any given time. Mm-hmm. And this is something that, according to Amy Dash here, they could have started doing this last month, but for whatever reason, they waited. And that's where Busby thought maybe that was she wonders whether that was because of the potential settlements.
That would make sense.
I guess the next deadline for the next real deadline where Deshaun might be super motivated to get something done would be when the league year begins in early March. That's when an actual trade could go through. They could agree to something in January or February, but you can't actually execute the trade until the beginning of the league year. I would imagine that the deadline is what spurs action in this, and that these both sides will kind of just conduct themselves like normally until then. Like, they'll go on with a normal timeline here. The big question is, like, how motivated is Deshaun to not go through that 40 hours of deposition?
Yes.
When they depose Deshaun, he's allowed to, Busby's got 40 hours that he can spend deposing him. I've seen some lawyers say, like, well, they won't actually go through all those 40 hours. I think Tony Busby will. Busby's not doing this for the payoff or anything.
No.
Whatever his reasoning is, it's the costs involved with doing this. I think they're secondary to him making it as uncomfortable for Deshaun as possible.
Well, he is, and Amy, I believe, talks to Tony Busby directly. He has through Amy in this story, she says, Amy Dash, leagueofjustice.com, says Tony Busby told League of Justice that he's asked for dates to take Watson's deposition, but still has not been provided any from Watson's lawyers. Busby said he will have to ask the court, quote, to force them to provide dates, end quote, and told League of Justice he intends to use his, quote, full 40-plus hours that he has been allotted to question Watson. So at the very least, Seth, he's doing some saber-rattling here with Deshaun, because I'll tell you right now, if I was facing 40 hours worth of deposition, I've been deposed in big lawsuits before back when I was an executive in my previous job. We were suing AT&T, which is not fun. They've got a lot of lawyers. That would be enough for me to settle right there.
Yeah, and that's just over something that, like, worth of depositions. That was for something that you weren't going to get in trouble for.
Right.
You know, like, you might, maybe you got, maybe you get fired if you really botched it or something.
Right.
But it wasn't like you were facing, like, a multi-million dollar settlement out of your own pocket, where this is obviously something much different.
Or something that would compromise a criminal investigation. I mean, Deshaun's got to think about that, too.
Yeah, so it's probably 44 hours, isn't it? Because I think it's 2 hours per plaintiff.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
I thought that's what it was.
That makes
sense. So maybe 44 hours. Yeah, I think that everything breaks down when you start to try to analyze this by normal legal standards or expectations. I think Busby's going to make it as uncomfortable on Deshaun as possible.
Yep. Congrats to Jeremy in Houston, the winner of the latest Texans Ticket Tuesday. Next chance to win will be at 9:45 this morning. That'll be when you listen for the cue to call between 9:45 and the end of the show today. So Deshaun's accusers began getting deposed, reportedly, according to Amy Dash, yesterday.
I guess the other question, though, Sean, too, is does this make it more likely? If 18 to 20 women were supposedly willing to settle right before the trade deadline, you know, and that was the number that was bandied about as being a potential, that there were 18 or 20, but there were at least a couple that were adamant that they didn't want to settle yet. I wonder if that accelerates that process at all, maybe. And maybe that's what the Deshaun's camp would be hoping for at this point. Like, okay, well, now that women have to go through this further, more like really uncomfortable situation of being deposed, maybe more of them will be willing to settle or settle for a different amount right now.
My reaction anytime I see something relating to this case or these cases with Deshaun, where the legal process, any legal process that doesn't involve settling, is moving forward, I get anxious about this thing drifting into 2022. And yeah. I get anxious about him still being untradeable and unmovable in those March, April months that you're talking about next year. Like when I saw Amy's report that depositions are beginning, I'm like, oh crap, here we go. The process is this process that does not allow Deshaun to even speak to a lawyer in a deposition until late February is moving forward right now.
But we're in this weird zone too now where, like, we've seen Florio say it this way, where I can't remember, it was one article where he basically said, the reality is that there are actually far fewer potential. He said something in such a way that it almost made it sound like, well, if there are only three or four allegations against him, that wouldn't be much at all. Like, no, you can't lose sight of the fact that three or four allegations is a lot of allegations in a normal situation. But I do wonder now, just by relativity, if he does settle 20 of the 22, if maybe some teams at that point say, okay, well, look, we've had players before that have had a couple civil suit allegations before him, and that's something that at least you can grasp and get your mind around and figure out. Maybe they'd still be willing if there were two outstanding cases as opposed to 22.
My totally uneducated legal standpoint opinion on what you just said is that it would depend on which two or three are still sitting out there. Because yeah. There are two or three that allege different things than the other 18 or 19 in this case, or whatever the number is.
There's two that are a lot more extreme, I guess.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's two where the allegations drift into the area of felony. You know, as Amy Dash has pointed out on our show many times, that most of these accusations describe things that in the state of Texas would be, I mean, they're gross and they're creepy, but they would be a misdemeanor. Whereas there are a couple in there that allege some pretty horrific stuff, and I think if those were the two or three, Seth, that were still out there, I think that changes the calculus on what you're saying there, on what you're saying there a little bit. So we'll see what happens. But depositions are beginning. In the meantime, the Deshaun Watson big board of potential trade suitors continues to evolve over the course of the rest of the season. The Giants have always been one that I've been hoping for, Seth. I think the Dolphins are probably still the chalk, although they're winning games now and Tua's looking good. I wonder how that changes things, if at all. But the Giants are going to be, I'm curious what you think about my theory on this, that the Giants have their pick and the Chicago Bears pick, which are both picks in the top seven right now. They're both really high picks, and the Texans are going to have a pick in the top seven, presumably. So you look at doing a Deshaun Watson trade with the Giants, who are in a city where Deshaun reportedly wanted to go to play for the Jets last year. I would assume that he'd be okay with going to the Giants. Dave Gettleman, their GM, is out reportedly after the season. So they're going to have a new GM. Does a new GM hurt or help the chances of the Giants doing a Deshaun Watson deal in your mind?
I think it 100% helps the chances that the Giants are in on it, just because, you know, Daniel Jones is Gettleman's baby. Any new GM coming in isn't going to say, yeah, let's wait and give Daniel Jones another year or two. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and give him the fifth-year option and perhaps anchor myself down even further.
No, but could there be a tendency for a new GM to look at having the fourth and seventh picks in the draft and get very GM-like and say, you know, we're going to build through the draft. We're going to build through, you know, this is a rebuild, and we're going to find our own quarterback on a rookie deal, and we've got these multiple picks. You know, these GMs,
Gettleman, if he keeps his job, might be more inclined to be more desperate.
All in.
To get the quick fix in there.
Yeah.
Whereas a new GM, right, well, like with Nick, like to say Nick Caserio, who perhaps it didn't take long to start realizing, wow, okay, well, I could keep Deshaun and have no young talent on this roster in this horrible salary cap situation, or I can just clear the deck and get a whole bunch of draft picks and then go in. Boy, that's a really good point. I think that's where it comes down to ownership and what they're hiring that GM to do.
Yep.
If they think that they're ready to go right now and, yeah, we're full steam ahead, go ahead and go after Deshaun, then so be it. I still think it's a better – I don't think Gettleman would do it. I think Gettleman's like proud of being very old school in a lot of ways. And I don't think bringing in Deshaun Watson, is a quick fix is almost, I don't think it's in his DNA.
That's the one I'm rooting for, man. I look at those two picks and I look at New York and I go, that might line up. It could line up.
By the way, if you're a Houston sports fan, tankathon.com is the spot for you. Because not only do they have the NFL draft order and all of the things where you can be looking at, okay, the Texans are number two overall right now. That might change, obviously, by the end of the season, but that's where we are. But then you can also see, okay, who are the teams out there with draft picks that you want to trade for? And you get a really good feel for, okay, why it might not be a great idea to execute a trade with Green Bay, but some of these teams that are picking later in the draft versus the teams that have draft picks now, you wait until the end of the season when you figure out exactly where those spots are going
to
be.
Well, even the Dolphins, who are still, I think, probably thought to be the favorite, you go look on tankathon.com, you'll see the Dolphins don't have their first-round pick. They have a first-round pick, but it's the pick of the San Francisco 49ers, who have won three in a row, and now that pick has gone from being a top 10. That pick's gone from being a top 10 pick to being like 21st in 3 weeks.
Yep, they're 21st right now. The Rockets, I'll tell you, precipitously close to losing one of those venerated top three positions, you know, where you got a 52.1% chance.
Oh, you're over on the NBA. Now, they have the NBA on Tankathon, too?
They've got the NBA. They've got MLB. Oh, they've got everything, baby.
Oh.
If your team sucks, we got what you want at tankathon.com.
Seth Payne here for tankathon.com.
Right now, they're one game behind Orlando, tied with Detroit for the second worst teams in the National Basketball Association.
Well, the other reason why the Giants have been a team that's been sort of the apple of my eye, and I think Landry really likes the Giants as a landing spot too, is I would rather they approach teams that have multiple firsts in the draft this year. There are four teams that have multiple first-round picks as of today. Detroit would have the first and the 21st. The Jets would have the fourth and the fifth. The Eagles would have the 9th, 10th, and 14th picks in the draft.
Oh, sweet goodness.
If the season ended today, and then the Giants...
Deshaun owns a cheesesteak store.
The Giants...
It's meant to be.
The Giants are the other team with two picks, 6 and 7. So there's four teams with multiple first-round picks. I don't think he would go to Detroit. The Jets already have Zach Wilson, and I don't think he would go to Philadelphia. The Giants are the one team that I think Deshaun could be talked into to going to potentially.
Don't you think he could be talked into Philadelphia? Maybe he's just got. Maybe he's never been to Philly. Maybe he doesn't understand that it's got a particular.
Will that help?
Charm. What would be? What would the?
If he goes to Philly, will he? This is Shangri-La.
Yeah, the violently protective Philadelphia residents.
Okay.
They'd shift somebody for you if you wanted to.
They would if you're good.
They really would. And like I said, Deshaun owns a cheesesteak. Restaurants, there's several of them.
Yep.
There's nothing that Philadelphians would love more than a guy coming in with Detroit-style cheesesteaks and telling them that they're better.
Philly?
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah, right.
It'd be like A-Rod signing with the Astros and bringing in his own kolache brand.
Right, or barbecue. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Hey, today is Giving Tuesday, and if you eat at Raising Cane's today, 47 Houston area locations, any of those locations... You just mentioned Make-A-Wish when you go place your order, and they're going to donate 15% of your purchase to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Costs you nothing, but you can help young children have their wish granted. It's a great, great cause, Make-A-Wish. So mention Make-A-Wish if you eat at Raising Cane's today. Or I'll just tell you, go eat at Raising Cane's today. Any other 47 Houston area locations, 15% of your purchase when you mention Make-A-Wish will go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. All right. And we're giving Texans tickets away, Texans-Colts tickets away. Start listening for the cue to call about 30 minutes from now, 9:45, Texans-Colts on Sunday. You can buy tickets at HoustonTexans.com/tickets. All right, so LSU has pilfered the coach of my alma mater to a big deal. There's actually a couple odds boards out already on who the next head coach at Notre Dame could be. Who do I want? And there's a name missing that I think a lot of people... For my sake, I guess, would like them to hire. That's next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so if you've not been caught up on what's been going on in the coaching world in football, just some bombshells the last couple days. Oklahoma job is now open because Lincoln Riley is at USC, $12 to $13 million a year there. Brian Kelly was the big one last night. For the first time in the history of the University of Notre Dame, a coach has willingly left his job there for another head coaching job. Brian Kelly will be the new head coach at LSU. 10 years, reported by ESPN, 10 years, over $100 million to go to LSU. So now the question becomes, who's going to fill those two jobs? And I found an odds board. Of course, the one I'm acutely interested in is the Notre Dame job. I found two odds boards that are already up, Seth, as to who the favorites are to land this job.
Ooh.
It's the same favorite on both boards, and this is probably... It's probably... Why are you laughing?
Because I just saw who it is. Wait. No. Okay, that's not the favorite. Okay.
No, no. You started at the top and worked your way down. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not Ed Orgeron.
What the hell? Yeah. Like, how the hell could Ed Orgeron be the favorite to get the Notre Dame job? You want to talk about a David Culley type situation there where...
I'm not going to lie. It would be fun, though. I would watch every press conference. No, it's the same favorite. I don't want to dig too much into who the favorite is because I don't think a lot of our audience is super familiar with him. Their defensive coordinator is a guy by the name of Marcus Freeman, who's in his first year at Notre Dame. He's got the reputation of being not only a great defensive coordinator, which he's been this year, but also a great recruiter, very young, very energetic, African-American, and I think that may factor into the decision-making as well. He's really good at what he does. he both the odds boards I'm looking at, he is the favorite. And there are rumors coming out of South Bend that Marcus Freeman has a lot of support internally from people within the program and people who support the program, trustees, things like that. The names get interesting after that. The names that are mentioned on both of these odds boards as being among the favorites, Urban Meyer, 3-1. Urban Meyer, who was up for the Notre Dame job back in 2005 and ended up going to Florida instead, but he did spend time as an assistant there under Lou Holtz. I don't know. 3-1 sounds a little short for Urban Meyer, given what he's had going on this year in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I don't.
Doesn't feel like a Notre Dame thing.
Does the stuff in Jacksonville affect the college search one bit? I don't think there's a college president in America who looks at what's going on in Jacksonville and thinks like, no, Urban Meyer's lost his touch in the college game. I think they look at it more like, oh, he's just not a good NFL coach, and he was in a bad situation.
I'm talking about the off the field stuff. I'm talking about the stuff with the girl in the bar.
Yeah, I forgot getting a lap dance in his own bar.
That's.
Are you telling me, Sean, that Notre Dame is going to look down on that?
I am.
He is only human, after all. What better man to show that we are all sinners than Urban Meyer of lap dance in his own restaurant?
That's a fact.
Better school to go to and confess your sins than the premier Catholic institution in Division I football? Yes.
The Jesuits do not pretend to be perfect human beings, Sean. They understand all of this, and Urban Meyer Urban Meyer understands the challenges that these kids are under because of the omnipresence of social media and cell phone cameras these days. Better than anybody else could.
Two other names that show up among the top three or four candidates on both of these odds boards: Luke Fickell of Cincinnati, who's in line to go. And ironically, that's where Brian Kelly came from to Notre Dame a decade ago, was Cincinnati. But Luke Fickell, and then Matt Campbell at Iowa State, who actually for each year seems to get a lot of NFL love as well. I don't know Campbell's entire background to where he gets NFL-level love, but Fickell and Campbell, Matt Campbell, the Iowa State head coach, who's done things at Iowa State that no coach has ever done at that school before. Should I be happy with either of those guys, Seth, if they're the head coaching hire?
I think those guys have been hot-button candidates for a long time. It's always a crapshoot as to how they're actually going to perform at that highest level. But it's not like you're going out on a flyer if you go for any of those guys. If it were to be Luke Fickell as opposed to Ed Orgeron, I should say, yeah, you should prefer Luke Fickell. You should 100% prefer Luke Fickell to Ed Orgeron. Luke Fickell, I've always got a little part of me, because between Vrabel, Luke Fickell, and Matt Finkus, do you remember when those guys were the stud defensive lineman for Ohio State?
I do, yeah.
Back in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Because they were my age, and I used to watch those guys, and I was kind of like, when I was still in college at a smaller school, I'd watch those guys and be like, man, can I be as good as those guys? I think I could be better than at least two of them, but I'm not so sure about that Vrabel guy.
So Fickell was a D lineman, huh?
I thought so, yeah, okay. Unless I'm totally screwing it up.
Well, either way, whether he's a linebacker or a D lineman, he went the direction of getting skinny after getting out of football.
Yeah.
He's a skinny guy.
But he, was he? I thought he was. Anyway.
Either way.
I think that, who else was in there besides Ed Orgeron?
Let's see, Matt Rhule? There's no way Matt Rhule leaves the NFL to go.
I don't know. They suck right now, man. They got no hope at quarterback. Christian McCaffrey is injured again. Running backs this year between Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry have both made the case that running backs are still super important, but also made the case that you still shouldn't pay them. Even though, they can still be really, really important to a football team, but you just can't trust them to stay healthy.
I would take Rhule in a heartbeat. Is the Notre Dame head coach. The question becomes, is Bill O'Brien a better candidate than any of these names? Is he a better candidate than Luke Fickell, Matt Campbell, or Matt Rhule? And there's probably people getting ready to chuckle at me about Bill O'Brien bringing him up as a candidate, given how things ended here in Houston. But multiple times this morning, you have given me the Bill O'Brien sales pitch for Notre Dame, and it's made a little bit of sense to me. It's helped me get over my PTSD least a little bit with Bill O'Brien.
I think he's a really good recruiter. I think that he is way more engaging in person than people would realize, especially when it comes to recruiting and talking to people's parents. Like, if there's one thing that was kind of annoying about Bill O'Brien as a head NFL coach, but that is a huge asset as a college coach, is that he really does seem to care about the guys' families. Like, what's their family background? I think that's where he showed his college side when he was in the NFL. That I think that it's a genuine care about that stuff. Then that transfers over, and I think with young men making a decision, or parents helping that young man make a decision, and I would say that goes on into when they're young men at college, they're 19, 20 years old. I think that's something that appeals to a lot of guys, and also works as a motivational strategy with the young men as well. So I think when I watch those Penn State teams, when the Texans first hired Bill O'Brien, I went back and I watched Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I thought about the offense in particular was, okay, this looks like a disciplined, well-coached offense. They weren't the best offense in the country or anything by a long shot, but he had instituted some good things. It's kind of like when you watch Katie play a football game offensively. You can look and see, okay, Katie, it's not like Katie always has the absolute best athlete in the state or anything. They run the hell out of that offense. They do everything with crisp precision. And that's what that Penn State offense looked like. I think he can do that for Notre Dame. I think he can run a tight ship. I think he can recruit really well. If he can keep his, either whether you want to call it his ego or his need to control everything or to micromanage, if he's learned some lessons and keep those in check, I think he could be successful at Notre Dame.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm guessing that's a job he wants. People don't know. Seth, Bill O'Brien might want the Notre Dame job just so he can get up in front of a crowd at the press conference to introduce him and tell the story about how he was the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame for a week back in 2002 when George O'Leary got hired. For those who don't know, George O'Leary got hired as the Notre Dame head coach, a lot of people will remember, for about 5 days, and then he got caught lying on his resume. Bill O'Brien was going to be the offensive coordinator. He was O'Leary's OC at Georgia Tech. He was going to get brought up to Notre Dame with O'Brien, and O'Brien's personally told me the story about how he and whoever the DC was at the time flew up to South Bend on Notre Dame's private jet, worked there for a week. O'Leary gets fired, and then they've had to fly back to Atlanta on Southwest, like Group C on Southwest, middle seats.
What was it? What was O'Leary's transgression? He had he basically just said that he had a degree that he didn't.
A master's. He said he had a master's that he didn't have.
Is that all that relevant? Is that it's an oversight, Sean?
It's an oversight. It was on his resume for years.
Yeah, right. It was an oversight once, and then he didn't bother proofreading it. He was sitting in there in his MS-DOS program on his, and he just printed it in his floppy disk. He just kept printing it out over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. In retrospect, do I wish they would have kept George O'Leary, given who they hired after him? Yeah, probably. Tyrone Willingham and Charlie Weiss. Yikes. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, if we were to do a Texan circle of trust like we do for the Astros, would we be able to trust this particular young, hopefully foundational player for the Texans based on what we saw on Sunday? That's next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. One of the big turning points in the game on Sunday, as long as the Texans are in a mode where it would appear, in addition to trying to win games, they're trying to evaluate some younger players. They're mixing in more of these younger players, it seems like, lately. One of them's Ross Blacklock. They got to get something out of Ross Blacklock. If you're going to get something out of the DeAndre Hopkins trade, it ain't coming from David Johnson. It's going to come from Ross Blacklock. However, the problem for Blacklock, even though he's starting to make more plays, certainly more than he made last year.
Yeah. Poor Blacklock. Yeah.
Is that, on Sunday, let's just play it. Here on Sunday, let's set the scene.
To set the scene. Sorry, I thought you were going with the fact that Jonathan Taylor was drafted just after him.
Well, no, that's okay. Yeah. Well, we can certainly.
There's that. Like, no matter what Blacklock does, there's an MVP candidate that was drafted just behind
him. At a position that the Texans have the worst stable of right now, running back. Although I don't even know if Jonathan Taylor would be able to get 3 yards of carry behind this offensive line, if you want to know the truth. But Ross Blacklock had a rough one on Sunday. It was back-to-back plays. And just to set the scene, the Jets had driven into Texans territory early in the second half, and the Texans defense held them. It was 14-11 at the time. The Texans defense had held them to a field goal attempt, and here's what happened.
34-yard attempt, right hash mark, bullpen section uprights. Snap is down, Amendola's kick is up, and it's through. And there's a flag down, and it could be against the Texans, and it could be trouble, which is just unforgivable right now. You did all the work to force the field goal.
Going to give him a first down.
Unsportsmanlike conduct, defense number 90 for the leverage. Penalty's half the distance to the goal line. Yeah. First down.
How can you do that? You're trying to make a play with a block. We get it, but now it's not playtime here. This is real.
I mean, that's as angry as you're going to hear Mark Vandermeer at a specific player.
It is. That's one of the ones. It's one of the most unforgivable of penalties because it's almost premeditated. Like, it's one thing if you jump off sides, which, hold on tight, that's coming.
Yeah.
But when you're using an offensive lineman to try to prop yourself up to get higher, it's just not allowed. It's just against the rules. Maybe we should blame the special teams coach for not explaining that properly enough. I don't know. It's not legal at any level of football.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm aware of, but that's what Ross Blacklock did.
He did that. So the Jets smartly take the points off the board instead of 14-14. They send their offense back out on the field. It's first and goal from the 8. We don't have the audio of this, but it just is. So now it's first and goal from the 8. They're down 3. On the very first play from scrimmage, Jacob Martin gets a sack of Zach Wilson that would have set up second and goal at the 14. Oh, but wait a second. Ross Blacklock jumps off sides. I mean, literally the very next play after you used a jet as a stepping stool to try to block a field goal and get called for unsportsmanlike conduct half the distance to the goal, you jump off sides the very next play, and second and 14 turns into first and goal from the 4. Play or two later, the Jets go in and score, and they don't look back. That was all the points they needed to win the game, considering it was the second half of a football game involving the Houston Texans offense, where they're seemingly not allowed to score any touchdowns anymore. Real quick, Seth, here was David Culley on the leverage penalty on Blacklock.
Well, very disappointing. You know, we talked about not having critical penalties, but that, you know, it's part of it when you're playing, and he plays hard all the time, and obviously he's had some of those type of penalties, and he's just got to get better at that.
Yeah, that one, there's no excuse for the leverage penalty. The one that I'll stick up for him a little bit on is on that offsides. I think there could have been a case made that the center should have been called for false start on that. They were using a silent count. And, you know, sometimes when they're doing the silent count, the center will lift his head for that'll be like for the signal to go. But sometimes they go on two. So the center will lift his head, put his head back down, then lift it again. That's on two. When the center lifted his head the first time, he really did it with a jerking motion. And the NFL's gotten better about calling those penalties lately on the offense. Quarterbacks aren't allowed to, like, make a sudden movement when they ask for the snap count. And that's where, if Blacklock hadn't had all these other penalties already, I would have given cut him a break on that. I feel like he had a legitimate argument there. The leverage is not excusable. The other thing about Blacklock, though, and it's all related here, Blacklock is very fiery, which is good. There's times when I still see him during a game get pissed off at offensive linemen, and I can't figure out why, other than sometimes it's because he got beat. You know, so hey, if you're pissed off because he got beat, it's the old go back and on the next snap, beat the guy. Don't get into a tizzy or some kind of altercation or shoving or shouting match because you're not happy that some guy is beating you. That's what happened last year when he got in the fight against Minnesota. He was getting his ass beat. He was getting worked over hard. He got his ass handed to him on a play, and he thought that the way to respond to it was to get up and fight. Like, no, be a better football player. Mm-hmm. So, and he's made a lot of progress this year. He's just got a – I think he's this guy that runs hot, which is awesome, but you got to learn how to temper it and learn how to control yourself on the football field a little bit better.
Is he somebody who could use a sports psychologist?
Oh, maybe. The right sports psychologist.
Right.
Yeah. Just to learn how to kind of – he needs some kind of a strategy for when he starts to get himself feeling like it's running out of control a little bit. Yeah, some kind of routine for getting back to center and kind of calming himself down, whether it be through breathing exercises or just some kind of a mantra that he can say to himself. Yeah, it's those guys can do – the good sports psychologists can do a lot with like some really simple cues like that. Good call, Sean.
Yeah.
Or maybe, what's his name there? The player programs guy that everybody is gushing about yesterday.
Oh, Dylan Thompson?
There you go.
Maybe so.
You know, Brevin Jordan was talking about Dylan Thompson.
Yeah.
He said he does a great job
with
all
the
rookies.
He's like the caretaker of the rookie class. Yeah.
Dylan Thompson is doing what sounds like Jack Easterby was doing back in New England. And Jack Easterby, by all accounts, was good at doing that back in New England. I guess we can surmise now that Dylan Thompson, because he does a good job teaching rookies how to balance their checkbook and whatnot, will, within the next 2 years, be the vice president of player development
for an
NFL team.
He's looking around on the daily to see which front office he can infiltrate over the next 2 years to take control of the roster. Absolutely.
He's hired one of those kingmakers, like one of those agents that – like Jack Easterby's.
Yes, yeah.
Jack Easterby's agent, who's the same guy as Nick Caserio's agent. Yeah.
Coincidence, yeah. So now there's all these people on the text page texting me, basically taunting me about Bill O'Brien going to Notre Dame and taking Notre Dame job.
You should, you're going to be cool. You know, the funny thing about it, though, is, Sean, this is where I feel bad for you, is that, you know, you, as part of your job, you've criticized Bill O'Brien through the years.
I have.
And now this is going to be a situation where you might have Bill O'Brien as the head coach of Notre Dame.
I know.
And you won't even be allowed into like alumni functions and stuff. O'Brien might just say, "No, not that rat bastard. We're going to keep him out. We're barring him from the campus."
There may be some truth to that.
Yeah, nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
Well, Seth just does. Someone texted it. See, this is why you made a good sales pitch to me. You actually got me somewhat excited about this possibility, and then someone sends this text. Bill O'Brien is looking up how to trade David Johnson to Notre Dame.
What if O'Brien gets there and just like encourages all the good players to leave so O'Brien can bring in his scrappy guys from Bethlehem, PA, all these try hard guys that can play multiple positions and just absolutely suck at football.
That's
tough, smart, dependable
right,
guys.
Right. That's the part, to be honest with you, all the traits you bring up in O'Brien, I think, as it pertains to a job like Notre Dame, the good things, I think, are valid. Are there things that I've said before? He can, a lot of people are saying he's a jerk. Who would hire this guy? Not in a job interview, he won't be a jerk. He can be very charming when you're just sitting there and chatting up football with him. I think he'd do phenomenal in a job interview, and I don't think he's a dumb guy. I think he's a smart person. And so I think, look, all those things you brought up are valid. This is the one thing that truly concerns me about him. And it's not his temper. I think, you know, he's learned a thing or two about himself through getting fired by the Texans and spending some time around Nick Saban about how you kind of channel yourself properly. It's his hiring record. These clowns that he brought in with him, one, you know, that to coach, and Tim Kelly's still here calling plays. Some of these guys that he brought in with him to coach and just wouldn't let go. Just kept them around and around and around. They clearly were not high-tier NFL coaching material. Now, might they be high-tier college coaching material? Maybe, but I don't want to be finding out on the watch of my alma mater. You know, like that's the his who he surrounds himself with concerns me greatly. I think he's fine with what he would do as the coach there. I don't know how well he would do putting a staff together. That's a concern of mine.
One of our listeners brings up a great point, Sean, about Bill O'Brien potentially going to Notre Dame and whether he'd be qualified to do it. Listener says, but don't you think O'Brien is just enough of an alpha male to demand the same number of academic exceptions that Lou Holtz had? So Lou Holtz, one of the ways that he won that tainted national championship,
the tainted
dome championship, was that he got the administration to relax their once lofty academic standards, behavioral standards, all those things. He brought in anybody and everybody, and all of a sudden they could compete because they had guys. They basically introduced basket weaving to the curriculum there at Notre Dame. I think O'Brien could do it. I think O'Brien could walk in to one of these fancy priest's offices and tell them how it's going to be. All right, this is how it's going to be, and then physically threaten them, and they'd allow him in.
He got Tony Rice in as a prop 48 guy with a low SAT score, and he got Chris Zorich in as a guy who went to a vocational school in Chicago for high school.
So, did he have credits like that didn't transfer?
Well, no, he had to jam in a lot more credits his senior year at like, I don't know if he got him jammed in at Chicago Vocational or at some other school. Now, were they the best players on either side of the ball on that 1988 national championship team? Perhaps. But still.
Bill O'Brien's going to go to St. Bonaventure.
But still.
That was their thing, remember? The Bonaventure scandal, they had a bunch of the basketball team.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
They had a bunch of guys. They had guys that had gone to welding school.
Yeah.
And that's another fine Catholic institution, Sean.
Tough, smart, dependable guys. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Get it ready, Ben, the hotkey. Someone says they can't wait to see Notre Dame hire Bill O'Brien so he can shout at a fan, "You suck too, bleeper bleeper."
Imagine O'Brien.
You suck too.
At the donors.
O'Brien going over to address the student section. You know, every now and then Saban will complain or whine about the students leaving too early, and he'll publicly admonish them.
They're walking
out. Wait until Bill O'Brien does it, yeah.
Oh, or at the part of the tradition after a win or a loss is you walk over arm in arm with the team and you sway back and forth and sing the alma mater. Can you imagine everybody swaying back and forth except Bill O'Brien, who is screaming?
Can you imagine, Sean, can you imagine being the poor resident advisor that has to go tell Bill O'Brien that one of his players was caught with a female in the dorms?
Oh.
And that he wrote him up so that this kid's gonna miss a game because he had a female guest in the dorms.
Even if
it's a senior, Sean, right? Aren't the seniors aren't allowed to have girls in the dorms?
Nobody is on campus.
Nobody
no,
is.
The dorms are single sex dorms. You're not allowed to. No, you can't after two a.m. After 2 a.m.
Oh,
yeah.
That seems pretty relaxed.
It's
after 2 a.m.
It still got broken.
I need 10 minutes at 10
p.m. It's not that girls aren't allowed in the dorm at all. It's not like they stand outside the dorm pressing their face against the window going, I wonder if we'll ever be allowed in here someday. They're allowed in to hang out and whatnot. They're just not allowed in after 2 a.m.
You guys ever wonder what a boob feels like?
No comment on that.
Just Notre Dame student athletes sitting around the quad. wondering what boobs feel like.
Not just the student athletes.
That's Manti Te'o right there.
Yeah. You wonder how the guy got catfished.
Do you guys know how I could learn how to unhook a bra someday?
Dude.
Do they have that on the internet?
Honestly, if the internet was around back when I was at Notre Dame, I probably would have gotten catfished too. I can't even make fun of him. I can't even make fun of Manti Te'o. The Texans are, someone's asking, what's the line on the Colts game on Sunday? It's Colts minus 8. So the Colts are going into the Tampa Bay game, a game they stood toe-to-toe with the defending Super Bowl champs, they were the hottest team in football up to that point. They're still playing very, very well. Is 8 enough points if you were to bet the Colts in this game?
So. I think it's your best indicator yet that the Colts, just like the Titans, are mere pretenders if they're not favored by double digits to the Texans. Now, I think that at least part of this is probably people look at this game as one. It's going to be a big Jonathan Taylor game. Where Jonathan Taylor, I know a lot of Colts fans are upset that Frank Reich did the smart thing and didn't run Jonathan Taylor repeatedly into the teeth of the best run defense in the NFL, in the Buccaneers. But they didn't. They didn't use Jonathan Taylor a lot. I think they run him a lot, so it keeps the score from getting way out of hand.
There you go. That's a good one.
It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Win a pair of tickets to Texans Colts. Call now. 713-572-4610. Caller number 5 wins a pair of tickets to Texans Colts. That's 713-572-4610. Exclusively on a Texans Ticket Tuesday.
All right, your chance to win throughout the rest of the day. 45 past every hour. Next chance at 10:45. On In the Loop, a reminder, text PICKS to 20357. Sign up for the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Just pick winners. If you're the winner in the nationwide contest, you can win $1,000 this week. It's text PICKS to 20357. Seth, you and I are about out of time here, my friend.
Done already?
I'm done already.
Yeah, today flew by.
It did.
It's a bad sign.
No.
It didn't feel like work. It might have been. Was I lazy?
Don't feel
today?
Guilty. Don't feel guilty at all.
Anytime I start having too much fun, I assume I'm on the brink of being fired.
Nah. We're good. Okay. We're good. Antibodies to you.
It's been driven into me from a young age.
I know.
You always hate yourself and everything you do, and that's the only way to keep a job.
Misery. Misery. Yep. All right. Antibodies, my friend.
Hey, antibodies to you, and have fun with B.O.B.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you, you jerk. All right, we're done. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a great day, everybody.
The Notre Dame people, they can't believe that a coach would leave Notre Dame to go to LSU. And I got to be honest with you, I don't care at all, so I just think it's hilarious.
All right, whatever, dude.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.